Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with Loveless Howard, my sister-in-law, about the training of children in spiritual things. And Loveless has been giving us some very practical, down-to-earth suggestions about teaching children to pray. Would you just review briefly, Loveless, what you said in our last talk about open-ended prayers with
That's
Charles?
That's an awkward phrase. I wish I could think of something better, but taking school-age children and praying with them real prayers where the parent doesn't know the answer, bringing our real troubles to God and waiting to see what he will happen, having to tell him our troubles and leave it, as you said, in his hands and wait to see what he will do. I have come to believe that along with living with paradox, learning to wait on God through our childhood is the way our faith grows, so that when we reach the testings of adolescence, there's a faith operating and exercising.
And has to give God time.
Yes, definitely.
Because his timetable rarely matches ours. That's at least my discovery. So you're teaching your child that it's important to bring the matter to him, whatever it is.
Yes.
It's important to realize that God may have a very different idea of what you do need in this situation. You don't always need a miracle.
Yes.
If you haven't practiced your trombone, you can't pray that the Lord is going to let you get into the orchestra.
That's what I call reasonable requests. And I think there's a balance we need to help our children achieve between the honesty of pouring out your soul to God like David did, like Jeremiah did, telling God how awful they felt. David says he complained to the Lord. Being totally honest about how we feel so that we can learn to be very honest about what we've done, confessing our sins specifically, in other words, and very honest with God about what we want. No pretending with him, no putting on a show with him, but then moving on from this honest opening up of the heart to him to relate what I've done, how I feel, what I want, to what God has in fact promised and commanded. I don't want my children to take a verse like, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, and use it to milk God for all the things they want. It's just not the way that verse was meant to be used. It's set in a context in the Sermon on the Mount that presupposes a trust in God's love and a commitment to his will. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, after we've already said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I believe our children's prayers got to be related to their life so that with total honesty, they open their hearts to God but relate their requests to who God really is and what he's really promised. In your trombone example, is perfect.
I remember a conversation with Dr. J.I. Packer, a good friend of all of ours. It wasn't particularly on the subject of prayer, but it was about a certain situation that neither one of us could see any solution to. It was a very bad situation, and we thought, something's got to give here. And so he said, well, let's pray about it. So his first words in his prayer were, Lord, we bring to you a situation in which we think we know what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But Lord, you know better than we do. But we bring it to you. That's the point. So it is legitimate to make our requests known to God, because in Philippians 4,
yes,
that's exactly what it says. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps your heart, which is a very different thing from saying, Lord, you've got to do this
yes.
for me, where your heart is not going to be kept in any kind of peace unless he does it, and unless he does it pretty fast.
I think praying about the weather is a good example of getting that one right. Say you're having a picnic, a birthday mm-hmm. outing. Of course we want good weather. Mm-hmm. And why not tell God, he's our Father, I would love sunshine. I laugh at myself sometime and accuse myself of praying almost, Lord, if you can see your way clear to it, would you mm-hmm. please give me such and such? But I'm certainly going to tell him what I want. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to help our children, as we need to learn, push on a little farther into what is real trust. No matter what the weather, be with us. That's the one thing God has promised. Be with us. And give us a happy time together. And I think that relieves the tension over mm-hmm. how's the weather going to be? Is God going to answer my prayer? What's the weather going to be like? We're opening ourselves up to the blessings and the good gifts God has to give, even if they're different from what we think we want. And this is not just a little gimmick. It changes life to me day after day. In school, too, for instance, I could not pray with a child they'd get an A, but that God will help them concentrate on a test, help them improve their tennis, learn from their mistakes.
And certainly give diligence to their studies. If they want to get an A, then
yes,
they've got to do their part. God's not going to do it for them any more than he's going to wash your dishes for you.
I think to teach them to ask God to be with them, since we know we can count on him for that, is very important. I think of all the children from broken homes who travel on planes alone. God, be with me as I travel. Help me to find my way. Help me to concentrate. Help me to be brave. Help me to understand my math. Those seem to me the kinds of requests we need to train our children to make so that they don't pray foolish prayers and get to about 12 and 14 and realize it was all a farce.
Mm-hmm. Or presumptuous
yes.
prayers where they
yes.
feel as if they have a right to something that they don't necessarily have a right to. I mean, what mm-hmm. do we have a right to anyway? It's all of grace. Loveless, I know that our listeners are drinking this all in. Probably some of them are sitting out there taking notes. But everybody wants an illustration, an example of a real life case. Can you think of one in the life of one of your children where something became a matter for real prayer that you prayed about together?
I can think of a wonderful example, except I don't remember how I really did pray about it. But I think you'll see what I mean. When Charles was 8 or 10 years old, he was deeply embarrassed by huge warts on his fingers. We tried, we thought, everything that the dermatologist suggested, and nothing did any permanent good. Then one day at a regular checkup, the pediatrician looked at Charles's hands and listened to his complaints very sympathetically. Then he said, Charles, those warts will go away someday. There are children who don't even have any fingers. That was just what he needed to hear. He never complained again. Interestingly enough, Tom was on a plane sitting next to a lady not long after who told him about an over-the-counter ointment that cleared the warts up completely forever. But I've thought very often, we could have prayed, God, take away these warts. And I honestly can't remember exactly how we did pray. I believe from what I have learned throughout my children's childhood, what I would like to have prayed is not, God, take away these warts. Charles had something to learn out of that. But I would rather pray with a child, Heavenly Father, please help us to find a way to get rid of these warts. And in the meantime, help me to be patient and thankful. I didn't always pray that way with my children. But we did begin to learn it. I feel like I did most of my praying at Charles's bedtime. Gallie didn't want to be prayed with from when she was about 3 years old. And I respected that. She is a natural prayer, and she was doing her praying throughout her childhood. But Charles let me learn on him. We used to pray at bedtime also over the blow-ups we had together.
You and your children.
Yes, particularly me and my son. And we had plenty of explosions between ages about 6 and 12 for him. And we learned to come together to God about that and to say that we were sorry for the particular incident, to ask God's forgiveness, and to ask him to help us with the frustrations that in our natures that usually got us down. And there was no magic in this kind of prayer, but there was a lot of relief from...
But you were actually admitting with Charles
absolutely.
That you were at fault.
And I was.
As well.
I was. There were different times when he would be disrespectful and I would come down on him quick and hard as his mother. But I'm referring to the times when we blew up together and I needed to repent as well as he did. And there was wonderful forgiveness between us.
Did you repent to each other first or to God
yes.
first? Or how?
We both said we were sorry, and we were. We usually ended in tears. It's not anything to be proud of, but it was our life together. But we would together then tell God we were sorry and be forgiven, and we were restored to fellowship with each other as well and went on our way. And there was no quick maturity for either one of us, but my son's 20 years old now, and I am encouraged in God that we are both growing in grace.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.